Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know.
Well, 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 we're here on a Saturday night recording this in San Francisco at the NBC Sports California studios. Deuce Mason, Morgan Reagan, and the tough times continue for the Sacramento Kings. The day after the Kings fired Mike Brown, they headed to L.A. with Doug Christie at the helm as the interim head coach, and we were wondering, what was it all going to look like? Well, it looked like more of the same. Moments of some good offense, awful defense, bad three-point shooting, and another loss. Sacramento's sixth consecutive loss. They're now 13-19 on the season. They lose 132-122 to the Lakers, who did not have LeBron James tonight. He was out with an illness, but you wouldn't have known it because Austin Reeves dominated. Anthony Davis dominated. The Lakers got what they wanted, and in the first and third quarters, they combined to score 82 points. Hi, everybody. Happy Saturday. Morgan, I've never done hardcore drugs.
No, don't even. Why would you even say this right now? You shouldn't promote anything of this sort.
I'm not promoting it.
Wait, I don't know where you're going with this.
Let me cook for a second.
Okay. It's scaring me. Like, what's happening?
I just remember a friend going, you know, I did Molly once, and the come down is just so hard. And I'm like, I never want to experience that. But that's how I feel with the Kings, where I had this high of highs in that 22-23 season.
Yeah.
The high of highs, okay?
Yeah.
And then now,
yeah,
low. It happened. It crashed, and it crashed fast. I'm stunned that this is where we are at, where it feels like this feeling I have and you have and the fans, the basketball sickos around the world watching us who are Kings fans, this is not foreign to us. We know this feeling of being low and being disappointed and let down. But man, it hurts. It's just so much this time around.
So being a Kings fan can teach kids to stay away from
drugs. Away.
Stay away. Because you don't want to feel these things.
You just want the natural high of your sports team winning. There's nothing like it.
There's nothing like it.
Exactly.
But now here we are at the lows.
This is low, Morgan. And look, this is where I'm going to start tonight.
Where are you starting?
My whole thing going into tonight, not that I was like, oh, hey, the Kings are going to mop the Lakers. I understand what this team looks like right now. We said yesterday, we spent 90 minutes talking about the Kings after Mike Brown got let go. It's like, yeah, they're 13-18. How good should they be? I don't know. I mean, I just don't think this team is flawed. It hasn't fit together like we thought. I mean, I was high on this team going into the season, and it hasn't worked out at all. But the thing I'm looking at is like, oh, they played a lot of close games, clean up some issues, be locked in. Let's see what it looks like. Your head coach got fired yesterday. I expected this group to come out and like play with a sense of physicality on both ends, not just one end. One end, because in that first quarter, they got up and down the floor. The pace was fantastic. The early offense, the shot making, they gave up 40 points in a quarter. A game after they gave up 37 in the fourth quarter to Detroit. Second quarter's better. They give up 25 points. They're like, okay, you got the lead at the half. I was so curious what the third quarter was going to look like.
Are you so curious?
Because Yeah, your offense, it was looking good. The assist, the ball was popping. You were making shots. What was it going to look like when the shots didn't fall? Or if you went through an offensive lull, or maybe you took some bad shots, what was it going to look like? Well, they got blown out. They lost the game in the third quarter. They allow 42 points, atrocious defense, awful defense. The shots weren't falling, but you should be able to survive a quarter where you score 24 points, but you can't when you give up 42. And to see how this team played defensively tonight, oh, to me, was really, really disappointing. Not that I expect them to be a lockdown team, but the stuff that happened. Thank you.
That stood out to you. I mean, you know, you even see a backdoor D'Lo on Malik. Malik's raising hands like, shit, my bad. Like, it just can't happen.
You can't have my bads right now. No.
And not only were my bads happening, but then the paint touches to open threes. Like, it's not like, oh, the Lakers are just so good at collapsing the defense and everyone has to come on in and then leaves a whole bunch of open shooters. No, no, no. It was the help that was coming in. They were playing in the no man's land. They weren't committing to helping and disrupting whoever was getting in the middle, whether it was Austin Reeves or if it was Anthony Davis. And they were also not close enough to the shooter to close out on a corner three. Austin Reeves, 16 assists. But on top of this,
career high 16 assists.
But on top of that, the amount of line drives that he had to the basket, there was zero resistance so many different times in this game. Yes, Deuce, it was not good defense.
And the one area of concern I had going into this game without LeBron was this Lakers team plays a little more free-flowing without him. Not saying they're better. They're just different without him, right? They're counting on more guys to get involved. Anthony Davis, like, okay, he has to show up, right? And Austin Reeves, who's played well against Sacramento this year, showed up. Rui had some really strong moments. And I don't know. I thought in the third quarter, too, it's like the Lakers came out like the desperate team. They came out like the team that, like, oh, like, we got to lock in here. And they came out and played with force, more physical. I thought that their attacks, even if there was extra contact, it didn't matter. It's a mindset thing. So even if Rui's driving, he might have extended the arm a little bit. Well, guess what? They didn't call it. And you have to play with that type of force. Austin Reeves, same thing. He's low on his shoulder a little bit, but he's bumping Malik Monk off the spot. Doesn't matter. They played with that type of force and effort level the whole night. And I just thought Sacramento could have done such a better job in that third quarter. And I know they could have. And that's what we're talking about. It's like one 40-point quarter allowed in the game is bad.
Yeah.
To have it done twice in the first to start the game and to start the second half when you are supposed to be desperate, where like this is supposed to be, all right, like not only with or without Mike Brown, a come together moment, like season on the line, let's go. And you get a break with no LeBron. I just didn't see it. And I'm sorry, I'm talking a lot. It's frustrating. It's frustrating.
It's okay.
Because
you've been talking a lot all night. You guys, wait, really quick, coming into the pregame show, he literally, 2-hour drive here, goes, Morgan, in the B block, I might be talking for a minute and a half straight. And I was like, you're kidding. Like, a minute and a half in TV times, a shit ton of time. And he's like, I'm not kidding. I have a lot to say. It's okay. Continue.
There is this notion that the Kings have to be better offensively. I think everyone wants to see the Kings play with pace,
yeah,
and they want to see, you know, early offense. And at times tonight, it looked really good. I mean, they scored 122 points. But I'm sorry. The team that won 48 games that year, the 22-23 team that had the best offensive rating in NBA history, and the defense not so good, right? I think they were 24th that year. They could win games with their offense. They could win games with their offense because they could hit threes.
Thank you.
This team,
which has some of the same shooters,
but they don't hit threes the same, right?
No.
And they did lose a really good one, Harrison Barnes.
Yes.
But they were 11 of 40 from three tonight. This is not a one-time thing. We're 32 games into the season. This is not a good three-point shooting team. So look, you can't just win with your offense because the shooting just hasn't been there. And you look at, they made 11 threes in this game. I think they made 5 or 6 in the first quarter. So they made like 5 the rest of the game. So the point is, the margin for error is slim. You have to be able to get some sort of defense. I mean, can you hold them to 30? I mean, if you held the Lakers to 30, think about what I'm asking you for a second. If you hold the Lakers to 32 in the first and third, you win the game. Sorry, Morgan.
It's okay. It's okay. You have a lot on your mind, and I understand. But I think this whole conversation and what we witnessed tonight has a lot to do with the theme of what we've seen all season.
Yep, that's the problem.
And it's, again, it's not like Doug Christie was going to be interim head coach tonight and you were going to see a completely different rotation, completely different style. But just like you had already said within your 7 minutes of talking, was that you said that this team came together at practice and you were expecting a little something different, a different type of urgency, a different type of inspired basketball and energy. And you literally had the same basketball or worse that you have seen in this past week, in this 6-game losing streak.
Yeah.
Here we are.
And, you know, I felt like maybe the focus was there offensively for most of the game. Like I mentioned, that lull in the third, I thought they had made some poor decisions. I thought they took some tough shots. The pace slowed down early in the third quarter when the Lakers got into the game. And there were just moments, you know, got to go back and watch, if I guess. But, like, I remember Malik taking a really tough long two.
Yep.
Just not a good shot. And then the other end, next play, Anthony Davis misses at the rim.
Uh-huh.
He's on the ground.
That's the one. Yep.
He's on the ground.
Yep.
Believe it or not, this play happened earlier in the week against the Lakers, too. Where AD's on the ground after a missed shot or whatever, the Kings push this time, which I was super excited for. And Sabonis gets down the floor. He's got a mismatch with a small on him. They don't get him the ball. De'Aaron decides he's going to launch a three. Miss. Look, I get today's game's different. Like I'm not trying to sound like old man. Like, hey, I, you know, in transition, you never just take a three. But like, to me, don't go for the home run play. Go get a bucket. And your big fella has a mismatch. Oh, and by the way, Anthony Davis is not on the floor, who's a really good rim protector. You have the numbers advantage. Those are the plays you can't throw away. You can't have bad turnovers where Fox is trying to win the fourth quarter when the Kings are making a push here. It's like a 7-10 point game, whatever you want to call it. And he has a soft bounce pass into the crowded paint to DeMar DeRozan. That's picked off.
Easily picked off. And there was another one cross court where he tried getting it cross court and it was soft and lazy and just not locked in. And then the game ends on like Trey Lyles and De'Aaron having a miscommunication and a turnover. Yep. It was like that happened throughout the game. But going back to what you were saying about the shot in transition or when you have numbers and 80s on the ground, we talked about this in the post game. The amount of times that, and I just don't agree with this when it comes to Mike Brown, he would say, hey, if it's an open shot in the NBA, I want my guys to take it. When you have a shitty shooting team, I understand you got to find, like, you're going to have lulls, you got to get out of it. But this was a big enough sample size this season to be like, no, this team is not good at shooting the basketball. This team needs to generate the best type of offense to create the easiest shots, to simplify the offense. And you're still seeing them taking more difficult shots or a transition three when they could feed it into Sabonis, who maybe has the mouse in the house, or just no big player down low for him to go against, and making life a little bit more easier. A little bit more easy. Thank you.
I'm a doll in the chat says, something about your face. Mo looks like she's going to lose her mind with Deuce's run-on sentences.
No, I'm not going to lose my mind because I'd rather, like, I appreciate everything he has to say tonight because, my God, does he have a lot to say. The only times I get frustrated is when he's not conversational about it and he just, like, talks at you. He's talking not only at me, he's talking at you, too, and we just need you to have a conversation because we're here, too. speaking for all of us.
Ask me a question.
Okay.
Don't make me grab the ball and just go.
Why do you think the Kings couldn't come out differently after everything that went down in this last 24 hours from not only head coach being fired, but to the conversations they had at practice? Like, is it the roster? Is it the mentality of the team? What is it?
100% the mentality. I mean, it's the roster too. I mean, this team doesn't have... look, you fired Mike Brown. You didn't all of a sudden get a whole bunch of wings and depth that could deal with a team that's got size, okay? I understand the Kings' limitations. I understand that there are going to be challenges against some of the bigger teams in the NBA. Some of the stuff tonight, though, was just about guarding your man, yep, communicating, and being locked in.
Being
and
in
so,
front, yes.
So that's one thing. But in terms of mentality, like, no, I think there's, to me, I go, this team just want, I think that team wants to be able to go play like they did in a 22-23 season when they won 48 games. And that is offensive-minded. But what I'm telling you, they do not have the shooting to do it.
Yep.
Keegan Murray doesn't make threes anymore. What was he tonight? One of six. One of six. This is after one of seven. De'Aaron Fox, he'll take them. Tonight, he started 0 for 8. It made one late, one for 9. I thought there were too many home run ones. And, you know, you go, well, if they drop, you probably don't say that. Well, yeah, you're probably right. But I just know he can be deadly attacking and putting pressure on the defense too. Like, that has to be your mindset. Like, do you need to take 9 or could you get away with taking 5? Like, I have to go back and watch, but I can guarantee you, you're not going to look at all 9 of those and go, those were all 9 just great looks and you should have taken all of them. And when you're trying to get back your season back and you're trying to turn things around, there has to be a focus on all aspects of the game. And I think it's been a conversation for a long time. Even when Mike Brown was here, is like, oh, are they focusing too much on defense? And should they just lean toward the offense? Dude, to me, it's always been a weird conversation. Because the best teams, you know what they do?
What do they do?
They play both ends.
There we go.
They play both ends. There we can go. You imagine?
And even if you're shitty on one end, like, you find a way.
Just be average.
Well, you find a way to put a band-aid on the flaws, right? Like, how can you cover up some of the flaws? And I think what we saw, even defensively, in that playoff year with Mike Brown and this high-powered offense was, like, the help defense, the size, the rim protection, everything wasn't there. The discipline. I mean, Sabonis was fouling after play. But you saw the type of pride and effort that they still took on that end of the floor that helped propel these transition buckets, that helped play with the type of pace that they wanted to play, the deflections, hands in the passing lanes. And now you're just seeing so many little fundamental things that they're not doing on the defensive end, and especially right now, that has been so frustrating to witness.
Yeah,
right now.
And you can't just look at it when the team misses a shot. When you go back and look and go, wow, that Lakers, you know, Anthony Davis missed a great look at the rim. He was open. That was a breakdown.
Yeah.
Like, there are still breakdowns, even if it doesn't result in a make for a team. And so, yeah, I think this team has the talent to be, like, you know, slightly average defensively. And if they were slightly average defensively tonight, it might have been good enough to win this game. And that's the problem. So going back to your question is, yeah, it's a mentality. It's a want. Yeah, I understand running up down the floor and sharing the ball and not scoring is fun. But you know what's fun, too?
What?
Crazy concept, winning games.
You know what's crazy?
Doing what it takes to win.
You know what's crazy, too? When you look at the possessions, the possession game.
It's Kings, a little misleading.
It is, because this is where I was going to go. You look at the free throw line, and you go to the free throw line. So Kings won the possession game. They had 98 attempts at the basket, 77 from the field for the Lakers. But then you go to the free throw line. The Lakers had 33 attempts. The Kings had 15. And I look at that number, and I look at the amount of times that Anthony Davis, Austin Reaves, Rui Hachimura, it doesn't matter who it was. They were finding a way to get in the paint and to be aggressive at the basket and to get to the free throw line. Like, whatever they needed to do.
Yep.
Where the Kings still ended up shooting 43 pointers, and although they felt like they were open or they were the best shot, you're in a place you're not making them.
Yep.
I'm so over the, hey, keep shooting if you're open, though. You got to change that mentality. Get to the fucking basket. I'm sorry. Like, just
attack.
Get there.
Attack. Well, and then on the other end, like, you talk about the fouls. That was the other thing. Like, the Lakers are very good at generating fouls. But one of their best guys who's very good at, you know, getting foul calls is LeBron. He didn't play tonight. And so I felt like some of the fouls tonight, I'm just like, you're reaching. You're gambling.
Yep.
You know, that's not the type of effort you need defensively. Like, ticky-tack stuff. Like, Sabonis' final foul, I'm like, you have five fouls. You can't. Why are you reaching at the ball like that? Like, you have to understand what's at stake here. And I think that's what was probably most disappointing tonight. Sure, I'm sure they had fun getting up and down the floor. And it is fun when an offense is clicking. And 38 assists is like a fantastic number. 38 assists on 50 makes. The ball was popping. They only had 10 turnovers.
Well, ball was popping, especially in the first half on the 21 assists. Yes.
But 38, I mean, that's an awesome number. So, but like, it all comes down to the other details. And then that's the other thing is like, okay, I did notice today there was more guys being vocal. I felt like offensively, if something wasn't going well, but that same type of fire, at least I didn't notice, wasn't coming defensively when a guy is getting beat. Like, those details, you have to want it defensively a little bit. So, look, I know I feel like we're talking in circles here about the defensive issues, but when you go first quarter 40 points, then second quarter 25 points, third quarter you allow 42, and the fourth you allow 25, it's beyond frustrating with that, because if you are just slightly better, you win the game. And at this point, that's what you got to win games. You're 13-19. You've lost six in a row. So, yeah, this is where they're at. This is where they're at. And
it's not going to get any easier. That's the thing.
No.
Like, it doesn't matter if you're at home or on the road. You know, it's just not going to get any easier. And nothing, unless there's a trade tomorrow, nothing's changing. Nothing. Oh, well, I guess one thing could be changing soon. The addition of Devin Carter.
Who knows when he's coming? Exactly. I know we're going to talk about that in a bit. But I don't know, man. You know, it's what we said yesterday. Firing Mike Brown wasn't all of a sudden going to, you know, launch this team into an area where they haven't been this year, in my opinion. I think the issues that they have this year are more complex than that. And I'm sorry, when you're 13-18, now 13-19, you can point a lot of fingers, okay? And we've acknowledged Mike Brown's issues this year with the rotation, the minutes. And tonight it was slightly different from Doug.
Yeah.
You saw DeMar and Fox play a little more together. You saw him go with bigger lineups at times, but he did end up going smaller too. It seemed like he played the bench more minutes tonight, which I think that is a good sign. Keon Ellis, I think, has to play more. He played 13 minutes tonight, 4-4, knocked down 3 threes.
I'm not acting like he's like the end-all, be-all or anything, but at the same time, he just, there. Of course, we've seen games where he's not efficient in his minutes, but tonight, like, efficient, you said it, 4-4, was getting his hand on the basketball. I don't know.
And then, you know, this next stretch is just going
brutal.
It's brutal, but it's also, like, going to be interesting, right? Because the trade deadline's February 6th. I mean, if this kind of continues on, and let's just say they don't, you know, lose 20 in a row, but even if you could go through the stretch and you lose, you know, 9-12, I mean, you're pretty much buried at that point. Then it gets into, like, we're talking about adding to this team. Maybe talk about it's time. Like, we saw what it is. This team just has so many weaknesses, and you know it's on display against teams like this too. It's just when you don't have the length, you know, it's like Sabonis, just not long. He's not a rim protector.
But then everyone, you go down the roster, and it just feels like everyone's smaller than every other team out there.
And someone like Alex Len, I'm like, okay, I'm glad they're playing him because he has some size. But like even him, it's like, why are you playing so far Anthony Davis and letting him to step into a jumper, like? You know, it's like, or maybe you see a little Orlando Robinson. Maybe you see, and this is where we're at in the season. We're asking for guys that are inexperienced who have been fringe NBA guys too. But it's a tough one, you know. And I guess the more I see this team, I'm like, look, De'Aaron Fox is a good player, and some nights he's great.
Yeah.
Some nights. More nights, though, he's good. Sabonis, really good player.
Yeah.
Good player. He's not great. Okay?
Especially when you see a double-double like tonight,
sure.
And you're just like...
Sure. Play 26 minutes. But my point is, your best guys are good more than they're great. And in this league, it's going to be tough. When the Kings had that year when they won 48 games, and yes, the West was down, they had two All-NBA guys, Fox and Sabonis, because they played All-NBA. And they were great more than they were good. These two guys, it's not enough. And then, you know, Keegan offensively is not giving you what you expected from a guy you got with the fourth pick, even if he's banged up. You didn't expect that, right? So this is where it's at. And then you don't have the three-point shooting. And so the conversation's going to start shifting. And this front office is going to have a lot of things to figure out here in the next few weeks about what direction they're choosing to go. Are they going to try to tweak this and see if they can get it turned around? Or is it going to be like, well, it's time to move off some of these guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think even like when you go down the roster and you even think about someone like DeMar DeRozan, and I do feel like everyone's always looking for someone or something to blame, when I think it's fair to blame multiple things, multiple players, coaching, coaches, whatever you want to say, roster construction. Like this, there's so many more layers to this than it's just De'Aaron isn't great every night, or Sabonis isn't great any night or every night, and or Keegan isn't making his shots. DeMar DeRozan slows things down. Like all of these can be true, but all in different games as well. And
that's the mark of a team that's not good. You never know what it's going to be.
Because it doesn't have an identity. And the identity of the team, the beam team, the playoff team, was playing fast as fuck and pushing the basketball. And now, the last 2 years, you saw Mike Brown try and tweak the offense, do different things last year. Guys weren't shooting as well, whatever. Still won 46 games. Then you go into this year, and now you're really seeing clunky stuff and nothing working. And then also defense that isn't great enough either.
In the chat, we got Kirby says, you guys say that Mike Brown's rotations were perplexing at times, but now you're suggesting changing up those rotations and finding players to fit. That's what Mike Brown was doing, SMH. No, I mean, I think part of it, and I've said this about Mike, and I'll say that even with Doug, is like, I recommend choosing a bench unit that you're going to rock with and rock with that for five games. Let them build some chemistry. You know, if Keon makes a mistake out there, let him try to fight through it. Doesn't mean you don't pull him aside and go, dude, lock in on this, blah, 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 but let him play. And also when you're at this point of the year, it's like you're 13 and 19. You may have to do some things you didn't do early in the season. Like this has changed a little bit now, you know, it wasn't this long ago. They were 13 and 13. And they were 3 minutes and like 50 seconds away from being a game over 500 after if they beat the Nuggets when they were up 10 with that much time left. It's crazy to think how fast this has turned, but that's where we're at. And there are just so many more questions now, right? Because it's not just you change your head coach. You know, sometimes you get in these situations where you fire a coach and it's because the whole team is over a coach and it's bad. You got to get rid of the team's awful.
I wasn't this situation.
And like... You also have this Fox stuff that's looming too. Fox liked Mike Brown. So like
it's a lot to it.
There's just a lot to digest here, and it's not easy to digest.
No, and I think where we're at, I think there's so many times that people are irrational and call for change after one loss or call for change after one bad game for someone. I think we're at a point where you saw the amount of change from obviously in these last 24 hours of changing your head coach, where you're going, okay, this team is going in the direction of more change. Or I'd hope so, because like we said, it didn't, the flaws didn't fall on one person and what they were doing.
Azalea in the chat, if I'm butchering that, I'm sorry. How do you say that, Morgan?
Azalea. Azalea.
Hey, Hathaway, listen up. They put swept by the Lakers for the first time since 2010, by the way.
disgusted.
Dude, the Lakers cooked Sacramento this year. They like
really did.
I mean,
what's their record right now, too?
They are now on the season 18 and 13.
Okay.
18 and 13.
Okay. Yeah. No, they
feasted. Yeah. In fact, did it in different ways.
Yeah.
Not even close.
That's what we should be spending an hour on, talking about J.J. Redick being one of the best coaches in the NBA.
God.
Be like NBA today.
Yeah. shout out to the OKC fan saying here, and I'm a Thunder fan here, and you guys are one of the best basketball pods out there. We appreciate that. You know what? And this is a great perspective. I actually had a friend just text me who works in the business and was just encouraging me to, I'm going to say in the business, not broadcasting, just in the basketball world. And he was just encouraging me to like, you have to have the perspective that our jobs are awesome. We watch basketball.
Aww.
And I know this is a tough time and you care, but don't lose your passion and fun. And that's the one thing I would never, ever lose. Like, and that's probably the one criticism.
That's cool.
We probably get on as a podcast sometimes is like, man, they're laughing a lot during this. It's like, you know what, dude? Sometimes I have to laugh so I don't cry. I mean, I don't know.
Because we're still having fun with life. I don't know.
I can't come on here and yell. I do not have the energy to come here and yell and be angry every day. You know, it's just not me. I'm going to have my moments where I'm upset and frustrated. I'm going to have my moments where I'm sad and depressed. I'm going to have my moments where I'm being silly and fun. I'm just going to be me. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be me. I'm not here to like placate and farm engagement or like, hey man, did you, I am who I am.
Here's the thing. When you love something so much, you're going to feel all the feels.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened to us. I mean, we weren't like, this wasn't forced on us. We were born into it. And my God, I'm so thankful that I was born into being in this Kings world, you know, because at the same time, I could have been into this like fantastic franchise that wins all these championships. Fuck that. That would be too easy. I like challenges.
Okay. Now we're going too far. Now you're just trying to make yourself feel better.
No, because you really do think about it sometimes when you're like, you think about Celtics and Lakers fans and like their standards now, if they have like, going right for them, it's like it's not good enough, and that's just not realistic in life. Like there's going to be mistakes, there's going to be issues. Of course you want to have standards, but at the same time you have to like play to your market. You have to understand what your market is. It's not apples for apples around the NBA. And
charms,
sure, I would appreciate a few more playoff runs.
Charms,
what
I need you to look up the definition of toxic positivity.
Yeah,
because you're not getting that from us. Are you kidding me? Like what?
Positivity.
Toxic positivity would be like here. I'll do an example. Welcome to the Do Some Mo podcast. Oh my goodness, the Kings lost tonight, but did they try so hard?
They tried so hard, and could they not dribble the basketball any better than they did?
No, but they were really trying though. Like, and so it was. Yeah. It was fun. It looked like they were. And you know what was cool? We have to be thankful that the team is just here.
And that like their color purple and how they've evolved that over the year is just such a beautiful color on their jersey, and we are so lucky to wear it.
Well,
that's toxic positivity.
I mean, and we just need to we have to be happy to be alive. You know what I mean?
Charm says, "I'm sorry, I'm drunk," in all caps.
You know what? We'll take it.
Appreciate you.
That's funny.
That is.
That is funny. The chat crack. This is actually sometimes what the one thing I do think about, and I thought about this as the season is like, I was like, man, some of the best podcasts we did in the early days is when the Kings were bad, because you know you just get loopy and it's just like you can only do so much complaining. Yeah. It's the same thing all the time. You end up having fun and reading comments and stuff. You know what I mean?
But something that I said to Deuce about last season that was fun was that even when the Kings weren't playing their best basketball, we were in losses especially, we were still analyzing breaking down what they weren't doing in these losses. Right now, we're in a dark place where it's okay to look at like big picture and just what's not going right everywhere. It's not a good feeling, and I can't wait to just be breaking down basketball again.
Yeah, it would be nice. It would be nice. And it's going to be a minute. you know, and especially with the deadline coming up here. Other things that jumped out tonight, looking at some of the numbers, De'Aaron Fox had 29 points, 12 of 25, but 1 of 9 from 3 in this game. He did have 4 steals, 12 assists. He also had 5 rebounds, but he also had some trouble with Austin Reeves at times, you know. And that's kind of the same thing I talk about with Fox, too, because I've gotten in some debates over the years, and I will fully admit, when things are going well and it's like looking like it's great, I'm like, oh, man. I go, man, Fox can be one of the best two-way point guards in league and blah, blah, blah. But you watch him and you go, no, he has that ability. And that's why you go, this is why Mike Brown like was challenging him and multiple times, like from the first year he was here to almost the very end, right? Is because he does have the potential to be an all-defensive guy.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do it every night. He's not locked in every night on that end. And that's what they need from him.
Yeah.
No one's saying it's easy. To be great in this league is hard. To do it every night is hard. But that's part of it. If you're a competitor, you have to lock in. And, you know, it goes back to the Pistons game, what happened at the end of that game.
Yeah.
And then, you know, even at times tonight where it's like, not only, even if it's not you getting torched the whole time, there is a breakdown happening. It needs to be addressed and cleaned up. And 100%. That's where I like, you may have that potential, but again, it goes back to what I said earlier. Good.
And it's not like, great. And it's like, he might know it and he might address it to the team or to the media or whoever else, but he has to want it and has to want to fix it in so many different levels. And those moments, those games that you see that he wants it, you're like, oh, that is fun having that type of player on your team that can get it done on both ends. But when it's not consistent, and again, understand how difficult it's going to be, and when you also have pieces around you that are, I'll say, good enough, you know, where it's not just like you're playing with a whole bunch of just a awful roster. You're just playing with a roster that isn't going to be a winning roster in this league that we're seeing, but you're playing with individuals that are good enough. So you can still get your stuff done on the floor as well. And that's playing up in guys, really having just a sense of urgency, whether you're in help or on ball at all times on every single possession.
David in the chat says, Fox is an aggressive defender at his best, but he can't be aggressive with Sabonis at his back line. The team just doesn't fit. And I mean, then that goes to the larger issue that I think we've all talked about many times. It's like, if you have Fox and Sabonis, you also need like length and size around them, and they don't really have that. And that gets exposed a lot.
We were watching, I forget which team we were watching, but we were talking about that, and we were talking about how, wow, well, your defense can really look a lot better when you have that second line of defense, when you have that confidence in the middle that someone's going to protect you. It just allows you to not necessarily gamble a little bit more, but have a different type of confidence when you are getting up in guys that, hey, that other help, that other disruption is going to be there.
Duran says, you two are awesome, but I think I'm going to have to peace out for a bit. Rest in peace, our half... a sniff at being a good team. Hey, look, dude, I get it. There's going to be some people that they reach a breaking point, but I'm going to tell you right now.
Oh, what are you going to tell them?
Win or lose, we're going to be here, and we're going to have fun, and we're going to make the best of this situation and talk about the issues, talk about the bad, the good, the ugly. We're going to be here, and if you need to take a little break, that's cool. Guess what? We're still going to
be here for you.
You can be a basketball sicko even if you miss a game or two, but come back, you basketball sickos.
I love that. Very sweet.
Matthew says, interim head coaches of the Sacramento Kings have lost their first game coach each time with it happening, with Tyrone Corbin being most recent. Yeah, we saw that on our post game. And yeah, I mean, it's not exactly a surprising stat because interim coaches usually take over bad situations. We've got more we got to talk about wrapping this up before we have to head back to Sacramento. We got a game in Stockton tomorrow.
Ooh.
Stockton Kings. Austin Spurs will be on the call for that at 3 p.m. But we should mention that tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Mother in Sacramento. check out mothersacramento.com for their full menu, but it's a great spot to eat. Dude, support local. Support awesome local spots with business owners who are passionate about what they do. I highly encourage it.
Fantastic food. Had some yesterday because I was really sad about everything that was going on in Kingsland, and I just needed something to make me feel better, and it actually did. Make sure to check out Mother. It's just a fantastic location and a fantastic restaurant.
Also, my mic was off. Also presented by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. We are all one at Golden One.
We are one. And you know what? Even if the Kings aren't winning on the court, you can be winning on their court, because if you are a Golden One Credit Union member and you lift up that card, not only can you get your seats upgraded, but there's been multiple times I'm seeing people winning those giant checks on the floor.
That's cool. They play contests. Yeah. You can join up and you'll get 50%. Off Kings home games, 15% off merch, and it's just a great place to work on your finances at Golden One Credit Union. Scan that QR code. Go to their website, goldenone.com. We are all one with Golden One. Also presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. If you need new windows, you need a new HVAC system, you need your HVAC tuned up, trust the experts in Northwest.
Yeah, and they're going to have a whole bunch of new deals coming up in the new year as well. So if you're looking at your windows right now and going, is this what I'm going to need? Well, stay tuned for all the new deals coming up in the new year. And if you're intimidated and just like, I don't know if I can afford anything, just go get a free quote today.
Go to their website, northwestexteriors.com. Check out their showroom. Their employees are awesome. They've all been there forever. Check them out. Northwestexteriors.com. Because Morgan Reagan, they are...
Simply the best, trust Northwest.
Morgan Reagan.
Yep.
Who would be your simply the best player of the game tonight?
Austin Reaves.
Austin Reaves for 26 points, 16 assists, and 6 rebounds. Or would it be Anthony Davis with 36 points, 15 rebounds? Excuse me. Yeah, 15 rebounds and 8 assists for AD.
How about both? Both?
I'm going to go ahead and share the player of the game if I can remember which one. I don't know. Give me a second, Morgan. We're on the road, dude.
Okay.
Back off.
Okay.
Our simply the best player of the game tonight.
Hey!
This is where we're at in the season. We are going with Kings rookie Devin Carter.
Wait, but Deuce and Mo, he didn't play for the Kings tonight.
He played for the Stockton Kings, made his debut. He has not played a game since March, and he played tonight. The game was in Sacramento at Golden One Center. Devin Carter had 29 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals on 11 of 19 shooting. He was 6 of 9 from 3. Hit some incredible shots, made some awesome defensive plays. He is our simply the best player of the game, Devin Carter.
Really enjoyed some of the plays that he did have. Just super crafty, his three-point shooting, and then obviously what he was doing on the defensive end.
I also want to acknowledge one thing.
Acknowledge it.
Because we've all been here. These basketball sickos know.
Been where?
We've been in situations where you maybe get overly excited about a performance, right? And it's my God. And then you let your brain do this wild thing. Like, dude, what if this? And oh my God, is that... the next Steph Curry.
We're not doing that.
Who could ever forget when Marvin Bagley dunked on Mo Wagner in the King Summer League game? Tell me that was not like the moment you're like, dude, this place is sold out. Is this real? He went and dunked on Mo Wagner. That was like an iconic moment for a stretch.
This isn't any of that.
Okay. And I'm not suggesting that Devin Carter is going to be Marvin Bagley, but let's all maintain perspective for a second.
Yeah.
Devin Carter looked really good tonight. Devin Carter looked really good in a G League game, but it's his first game. I did watch the game because it tipped off at 5, and we were watching as we were getting ready for Kings Lakers tonight, and I was really impressed. I mean, the shooting looked great. I thought defensively, just as advertised, his length. I mean, a couple blocks.
Everything that I wanted to see him do in the G League.
Yep.
We joked that like, oh, Devin Carter better drop 40 tonight in the G. And then he ended up having, a 29-point game or whatever it was. And I guess my point to that being, when you are an NBA player, that's the type of play you should have in the G. And to have that on your debut, though, that was what was impressive when he's not in basketball shape.
And if he played like shit, people would be like, dude, he sucks, blah, blah. So you know what? We can acknowledge, dude, had a good game. I'm excited to see what that means going forward. I don't know. But to Morgan's point, he was gassed a lot tonight because he's not in basketball shape and he still had a good game. So I think that was really encouraging. I think on a negative front, you know, his handles aren't the best. I feel like he was a little loose with the ball a couple of times when he was handling. But look, these are the games you need to do it in the G League. And how long is it going to be until he plays for Sacramento? I don't know. I mean,
and even how does it translate at the next level still?
Yeah, you know? But I think something that for sure translates is his defense. Like, there's no doubt about it. And for him to knock down the shot, remember last year was his really good year from three-point land in college. People are wondering, is that real? Well, the first G League game, he knocked down 6 of 9. Nice. That was pretty good. But defensively, I thought he played physical. He was able to switch on bigger guys. He was having to defend guys that were way big, like 6'7". I think CeeDee Sissoko was like 6'8".
Yeah.
And he had to defend him a little bit. Deflections, some nice steals. I just liked his effort.
Do you know how to get to our Super Chats? Because I saw someone mention Devin Carter, too, and I just wanted to make sure to get to it. We'll say who it is, but I believe it was something like, not our savior, but promising.
Okay, let's get here. I'll just read them. Jacob, Devin Carter is him, not our savior, but promising. Okay. I like you called him him, but you also said not a savior. He is him. Well, I'm in show notes here. He's not a savior. Damn. Keegan Burrywatch, remember, says, Fox gives conspiracy theorists ammunition. I don't know what that's in reference to.
Okay.
Peyton gifted a sub. Appreciate that. Thanks. Dennis donates saying DC Fryer is the player of the game.
Hey.
Casey says, I know there's not much to smile about, guys, but Sabonis might not be on your team much longer, and that's definitely something to smile about. Ooh, Casey coming strong. Damn, Casey. Oh,
well, thanks for the donation.
Sebastian says, is it time to capture the flag? Sell DeRozan at a high price. Yeah, like I said, these next few weeks, look at the Kings play Dallas coming up next on Monday at home. No Najee Marshall. He's suspended. He's been a guy that has crushed Sacramento.
Oh, yeah.
No Luka. He's hurt. But they've got Kyrie. They got Clay. They got other pieces who are playing well, and they're locked in. Length, size, athleticism. Like, Kyrie is unbelievable. He had 46 tonight in the loss. And then you got the Sixers. Then you got the Grizzlies.
I'm just
talking about the stretch. Grizzlies. Then I believe you go at Golden State. Then I think you hit the road, and then you play Boston, Chicago, Milwaukee. It's a tough stretch. So anyway, to Sebastian's point, like, you may be seeing them sell. I mean, I think that's a real possibility. The Kings have never gone nuclear with their roster. There's never been a dramatic like sell-off reset. And I think part of it is like there's always been this like notion, we gotta win because we gotta end the drought, win the drought. Maybe this is not the time to take a shortcut. Also, bad news, sour grapes. Morgan, if Doug doesn't work out, what do you think about Sam Cassell? Deuce, what's your take? I mean, I'm not even the ethic. I mean, Mike Brown got fired like 36 hours ago.
Not
I don't know. Sam Cassell is obviously a guy that's been around a long time. Super talented basketball mind. Shout out to Peyton for gifting more subs. Gifted 5. Arthur says, D-Fox played like he got a coach fired. We read that. Oscar, hi, Deuce Mo. Monty should just coach this team now. Okay. Interesting.
Thanks for the donation.
All right. Appreciate that. About Devin Carter real fast, too. You could see how he could help this team and it's some of its weaknesses. So I'll be curious to see what it looks like in the next couple of weeks with him. But I know there's just so many bigger issues at the moment. And
issues.
I don't know, man. It's tough. I was encouraged for Devin and by watching Devin because you just need some good news out there in a time where there's not a lot. It's not a lot.
Give me something.
Let's get to your final thoughts because we have to head back to Sacramento.
We got to get an early game before the lights go off, too. Final thoughts for me, I'm just going to take it day by day. I'm going to.
We're in such a bad spot, Morgan.
No, we are. And guess what? Like, that's why whenever the Kings were winning and we had a fog machine and we were excited about just one win in the NBA, like, keep doing that. When that happens, keep doing that because these times suck. And those times were way more fun. And I don't care if I should only be celebrating if they win a championship. No, I'm going to celebrate the smallest things in life. And I hope you all join me. Deuce, final thoughts?
I just want to see some pride on the defensive end. Don't care if you make a mistake every once in a while. I want to see a level of physicality. That doesn't mean foul, reaching, ticky-tack shit. You got to lock in. Offense is fun. It's sexy. I love scoring. But you know what I love, too, is stopping the team from scoring. And I do not want to see 40-point quarters. If this team would just lock in mentally and be engaged on that end, as engaged as they can be when we see it offensively, this stuff should not happen. 40-plus points twice in a game? A game that you were in. It can't happen. It has to be better. And it's a mentality thing. It's holding each other accountable, not only offensively with the ball movement. Hey, we got to move the rock. No. It's defensively. Have your teammates back. Play with physical. Be in the right spots. Talk. Communicate. It can't be like this. 40 points in a quarter should not happen again this year. It shouldn't. If there was an amount of pride, I'm not saying, hey, Kings, beat the best defensive team in NBA history here. I'm saying be average. Can you get me to average? Let's build. Let's go.
All right. Back to Sacramento we go.
Let us know what we missed in the comments below. When you guys are done, when this is all posted, drop some comments. Let us know what we missed. Let us know what you think. Let the conversation continue. We love you guys so much, but we got to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. Thank you for joining us.
See ya.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.